Let me take a minute. I want to introduce Peter Barca, who's been a friend for years. If you go to the first congressional district, which I think was the best when I lived there, I'm not sure. But Peter has been a friend of not only the Democratic Party and organized labor and teachers and firefighters and everyone else, but he is a person of great integrity. He has to get back to the legislature for a caucus, and so we're going to ask him if he would come up and say a few words right now. Please welcome Peter Barca.
Well, thank you so very much, and, you know, a round of applause to Ed Garvey. Who else can organize things as well as Ed Garvey? I mean, how terrific. What a great idea to bring people back together. I know Sarah Mansky did something similar right during the middle of the protests, and now that we're moving forward, I'm so pleased that a leader like Ed Garvey, that for so long has helped to push forward Wisconsin values and creative ideas and set the direction that Wisconsin's course should be on, is back at it, working hard, and as he always does. So, first of all, you know, thanks to each and every one of you. I know that we would not be in the place that we're at, meaning that counting the 1 million plus signatures that we have, were it not for each and every one of you that kept up the faith about what Wisconsin's values truly are. So I appreciate so very much, because I know so many of you are out in cold weather, we're out stopping traffic, we're out collecting signatures in adverse conditions, and what a remarkable time for Wisconsin. I mean, it's so important, the work that you're doing, because obviously the people who are in charge are the people who have defiled our heritage, they're the people who trample on Wisconsin values, and it's not in keeping with who we are as a people. And so I know today is really more about not who will be the standard bearer, but what will be the standard. More about not who's going to be the messenger, but what is the message. Not so much about political promises, but how and where is the path to get back to the promised land and the land that we all revere, this progressive state of Wisconsin. So I've got a few things to say about that, as you might guess. It's been an incredible year as the Assembly Democratic leader. Obviously, we've been in the middle of the battle, and we've been able to see the passion and the fire in the citizens of this state's eyes as they came to the Capitol, as they were so upset with the direction they were going in, almost in disbelief, as all of us were. I was there, of course, and a big part of helping to organize the longest debate ever, 61 hours, when they tried to end 50 years of important history and important values that we believe in, which is that we all sit at the table and negotiate together and have a stake in the direction of our workplace and a direction that this state is pursuing. And of course, it was all of you that filled the hearing halls when they so abruptly ended the Joint Finance Committee hearing, to have over 1,000 hours of testimony, that it was each and every one of you that were there at 2, 3, 5 in the morning, offering some of the most compelling testimony that we've ever heard. And so I think that you have to take stock, where are we at? And really, my colleague Mark Pocan said it so well, we're in the land of Fitzwalkerstan. And what does that mean? It's a land totally unfamiliar to us. It's policies that are unimaginable, that we never could have dreamt anybody would even dare bring forward in Wisconsin, and some policies anywhere in the United States. It's a remarkable period that we're in. Somebody stole the sacred land called Wisconsin with all of our values and our proud heritage, and we want it back. And we're going to get it back.
Yes.
And so let me say a couple words about where I think we're at. Because, you know, a million plus signatures that you all worked so hard to gather in 60 days, no less, is nothing to sneeze at. That represents 95% of the vote that Tommy Thompson, the longest serving governor, got in his last campaign. represents 104% of the vote that the last Republican that ran for governor, Mark Green, got. But we also know, on the other end of the equation, that they are doing everything they can to pass policies to suppress voting, to limit people's access to the ballot box. So we know that our work is cut out for us. We also know that as hard as we all worked, and it was a remarkable achievement, that's only phase one. Phase two, which is the hard work ahead to ensure that people show up at the ballot box to finish the job, that's going to be equally as difficult. You know, it reminds me during our, when we first started this session, and we had our leadership elections, and we were talking about running and who's going to be the leader, assistant leader, caucus chair. And I said, you know, it reminds me of Winston Churchill on May 13th of 1940, that all we have to offer is blood, toil, tears, and sweat. But the most important point of that speech that he said is that he believed, would be the start of Britain's finest hour. And I believe when we reverse course again and go back to that heritage, that'll be one of Wisconsin's finest hours. And I think we all want to be in the middle of that debate, in the middle of that fight, in the middle of the effort. Now, it's clear where we want to go. It's absolutely crystal clear. We want to end this land of Fitzwalker stand. We want to end the damage that's been done. We want to, secondly, go to the other goal where we can have a governor that's going to say, no, I don't want a centralized power for every rule in Wisconsin in my office. No, I don't want to end 37 public servants and make them political servants, looking out for our interests. And then third, where we really want to be is we want to be at the point where we're pushing forward progressive values, and we're using our heritage to ensure that we move forward as we thought we would have in January with things like wind energy, with things like solar energy, with ending $12 to $15 billion a year that we send outside of our state to power our plants and our homes and our cars. Those are the policies. That's what this state is all about. We want to make sure we go back to the idea of clean and open and transparent government. We want to go back to the idea and promote the idea that we can advance policies to maintain a pristine environment in this state. We want to make sure that we're not kicking 60,000 people off of Badger Care, but we're adding people that need help with Badger Care. We know that's where we want to be. That's goal three. But you know, we don't get to goal two and goal three until we accomplish goal one. And the part I have to say is this will not be easy. It should be easy, right? The thing I keep asking myself, you know, I saw that Marquette poll that came out last week, and I look at it and I think, how could this be possible? How could it be that even 30% of Wisconsinites would continue to support somebody with the agenda that has been advanced, with the values that have been disregarded, with the approach to government that has been so disheartening? How is that possible? Now, clearly, and you know what? That's our simple temptation to say, well, it's a bad poll. And you know what? I don't actually believe it's a bad poll. Now, I believe that obviously when you have $3 to $5 million worth of ads that, you know, without a response, where he can tell people fantasies like, you know, he's added thousands of jobs and, you know, that he's balanced the budget, that he tells the voters all the time, even though they certified to the Department of Health and Human Service federally that we don't have a balanced budget, and that's why we got to throw 30,000 kids off of Badger Care. When you can tell a fantasy in a vacuum, that helps your story, of course. And that won't be a vacuum for long. But the only reason why I bring this up is I think that we do have an important job in front of us. Because I think not all people know. As I've traveled the state, you know, during the special elections and campaigning during the recalls, whether in La Crosse or, you know, up in Green Bay or wherever I was at in the state, it's clear to me that while I'll bet you all of you in this room probably know 75% of what's been done, because it's hard to keep up with it. I don't think I know 100% of what's been done, because they try to hide it, and they do an effective job at that. But what I think we need is we need sunshine. We need to make sure that people understand all that's been done. Now, let me just tell you one other thing, just a simple solution that I intend to post in the next 24 hours, is I think that we need to give people a simple test. Because if you ask people you know, a simple 15-question test, you'll find out immediately whether they truly believe in Badger values or not. And just ask, let me put forward just a few of those questions, because I don't want to belabor the point, but I do think it's important that if we continuously are reaching out to people and making them understand what actually has transpired over the course of the last year, if they truly look at just some of the basic things, and this is even all of it, these are just some of the more compelling things that he's done. But can you imagine? I mean, do you believe, you know, in selling power plants without bids? What's the answer? No, hell no, right? I mean, do you believe that we should cut $1.6 billion, that we should pull $1.6 billion out of the education system so that the surveys show that two-thirds of the state now are either in larger class sizes or have fewer course offerings? So we go from being number one in graduation rates to have an equally high number, number two in the number of cuts to education. Do we believe in that?
No.
No, hell no, right? Do we believe in the idea of dismantling the UW system that was put together 40 years ago, that one of the jewels, not only in the nation, but in the world? Do we believe in that?
No,
of course not, right? Do we believe in ending 50 years of collective bargaining?
No.
I mean, do we believe in turning back federal funds so that we, you know, so that things like just having data in terms of people that are on Medicare, but more important than that, in terms of being able to put forward a health information system that even Rick Perry in Texas felt would be important for small businesses? Do we believe in that?
No,
of course not. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And it is so compelling. Do we believe in ending 30 years of recycling in Wisconsin?
No.
Hell no. Now, if you give people these simple questions, 15 of them I've come up with, just off the top of my head, that just are so incredibly compelling. You know, if anybody cannot say no to at least a dozen of them, well, then they're probably not Badgers to begin with. I mean, we're not going to win them. But the issue is that if people understand the depth of what's been done, I mean, do we believe in the notion of ending First Amendment rights to pass out flyers without a permit? I mean, who would ever imagine that any governor anywhere in the United States of America, any political person anywhere in this country would dare even suggest that you need to have a permit in order to pass out flyers in the Capitol Square? It's unimaginable. And yet, this is what Governor Walker puts forward. And I think if you ask people, and it's important that we're talking to people, that we're communicating with people, not just all of us in the room, but talking to so many people that you meet at grocery stores, because I think so many people don't even realize the depth and the breadth of the values that have been so disregarded and trampled upon, that we just believe are so sacred to our traditions. And if people understand it, how could more than a third of the people possibly support that type of agenda? I just don't think it's possible, quite frankly. But that's our job, and it's not an easy job, because obviously he already has, what, had 12 million, 14 million and counting, and there won't be for lack of money. And he'll run ad after ad after ad that he created thousands of jobs, when the truth is, six months in a row, we have lost jobs. The only state with that type of a record. It's unbelievable almost. And yet, who would even have the audacity to be able to put out an ad saying you're creating thousands of jobs with that type of record? You know, who would have the audacity to tell everybody, yep, I have finally balanced the budget, and then certify a letter to say that the budget is not balanced and we've got to throw 3,000 kids off of Badger Care? And that's the message. It has to be conveyed so strongly. And I think when people understand that, and then they'll see an alternative. They'll see an alternative of somebody that, whoever that nominee might be, will believe in Badger values, that'll support an agenda that we know fits Wisconsin. So I just want to end by saying, you know, I appreciate so much all of your efforts. I wish I could tell you that I thought the next 4 or 5 months will be easy, but I don't think it will be easy. And I think if we let down our guard even one bit, we will not be successful, unless he's indicted first, which is entirely possible. But short of that, we know our job ahead is hard. The road is going to be rough. But 1 million-plus people are with us. We have to make sure they vote. And we have to talk to the others that we see in the grocery stores and on the streets that I just think do not understand the depth and the breadth of how they defiled our values and our heritage. So thank you so much. Great to be with you all, and hope to see you all soon.
Doug LaFond, please welcome Doug LaFond. I'll never be forgiven for butting in front of John. I shouldn't start telling stories, but I met him when he was in junior high school. Can I tell the story?
Of course. Yes.
And I was a professor at Parkside down in Racine and Kenosha, and I decided to run against a right-wing Republican congressman named Henry Shatterberg. And Union Grove, where John lived, and his father, who was a very honorable and wonderful community person for many years, got involved in my campaign. So he was my campaign manager for Union Grove when he was in junior high school. And I taught him everything. No, wait a minute. He taught me everything. Anyway, it's great to be here and to have participated in these forums to the best I could, going around and listening. And spent most of my time in the environmental forum, which has been one of my long-term loves, as you all know. I suppose some of you have forgotten that I started a group called Clean Wisconsin many years ago. We called it Wisconsin Environmental Decade because we thought a decade would be enough to fix things. After our wonderful and honorable Senator Gaylord Nelson created the first Earth Day, and we thought the 1970s would be it, and we could all go hiking again, but didn't work out that way. We had some problems along the way, and we're still at it. And they changed their name from Environmental Decade to Clean Wisconsin, because no one could figure out about Environmental Decade anymore. Okay, very briefly, I spoke last week at an alternate State of the State event. They asked me to give my opinion of the State of the State. And what I said is the state of our state is not good. It's been hijacked by the Koch brothers and millions of dollars of out-of-state money. But then I went on to say, take heart, the state of the people is great. And it is so manifest. It was so manifest by the thousands of people in the cold weather against all adversity who worked in a short time and collected almost 2 million signatures to let the people know that they were there and they are in good condition. If you want to hear more of my comments or see them, you can look at my website, douglafollett.com, where there's things you can read about my speech that I gave on the state. I won't go into that now. But I've never been as proud in my 40-some years in state politics of the hundreds of people, thousands of people that collected those signatures. And I met with some of them, and I talked with them, and I helped them when I could around the state. Now, and while you're here, we must not let that magnificent effort go in vain. And it would be, I mean, I could not get up in the morning for weeks if we failed to follow through on that and got rid of our current governor. So the challenge we have, and I've been thinking a lot about this, and you have been thinking about it as well, and Ed and John have been thinking about it, is that how can we determine who would be the strongest candidate? All the Democrats have some negatives, including me. Possibly Herb Kohl might be an exception to that, and as a candidate, he might be very successful and probably would be a fine governor. He doesn't want to run, he says, so we'll see. I also have some very important positives. I mean, I have statewide identification. That's a factor to be considered. I've got strong support among independents and liberal Republicans. I'm not seen as a Democrat. That irritates the Democrats sometimes, but that's okay. And I have a record of winning. I mean, I won statewide elections 4 times when Tommy Thompson won. And I won
a year ago when who knows what his name won. So what I've suggested in a number of places on my website, and when reporters asked me, there was a reporter just asked me a few minutes ago what I thought, somehow we need to create several good statewide polls, independent polls, not promoting this candidate or that candidate, to find out exactly who has strong negatives and positives among the 6 or 7 or 8 viable Democratic candidates, and pair them up between, you know, Jones versus Walker, Smith versus Walker, Peter Barker versus Walker, Doug LaFollette versus Walker, John Nickel versus Walker. No. I'm going to be in trouble now. Now, if we had 2 or 3 such good polls, would that eliminate a primary election? Maybe not. Maybe not. But what it would do, it would allow the Democratic folks that are thinking about running, including myself, to decide, no, we're not a viable candidate, and step aside. And I would do that. I mean, if I saw that I wasn't a viable candidate, I'm not going to waste your time. I'll step aside and support someone who can beat Walker. That's the goal. Now, another thing very briefly, and this is so important and it's been talked about here this afternoon, is Ed Garvey recently made a comment or a suggestion, I'm not sure, probably a comment, that we can't raise money to compete. Ed's tried it several times, I've tried it several times at different positions, and we'll never be able to raise the kind of money to be competitive against the folks who we have to defeat. So what Ed said, maybe we should give up. No, don't try to raise money. Go out with the people and win the elections. And that makes a lot of sense to me. And I tend to agree with what Ed said. And I compliment him for having the candor to raise that issue. How about this idea? If everyone who signed the petition sent in $10 or $20, that would raise enough money for a good base campaign. And then we never raise the millions from the Koch brothers and those guys, but it would have a baseline campaign that we needed for the signs, the communication, the things you need to run a base statewide campaign. And if I was involved, I would limit any campaign contribution to me to $20. That's it, $20, no more. And I think if we had enough people involved, we'd have enough for that base campaign and let Walker spend his 20, 30, 40 million of out-of-state money, and we can defeat them with the kind of things that I've heard here talked about as well. What do you all think? I'd be interested in that. Well, in conclusion, my strong desire is to defeat Walker. I don't need to be governor to fulfill my life, but we need to have the candidate who is the strongest person to defeat Walker possible. I want to take back Wisconsin for the people. Now, some say I'd be a very different governor. I mean, first, I might be the first governor to walk to work every day, and I get a little flack about that. I remember when John Nichols defended me one time for walking to work and back and leaving my car parked. You know, heaven forbid, what a crime. Secretary of State lets his car parked for 2 weeks at a time and walks to work. And I thank John for his comments on that. But more importantly, I would listen to the people of Wisconsin, not to the Koch brothers. So it's great to be here and to listen to your ideas and to help work on this project of ours, to not let those people's work go in vain, and to replace Wisconsin's leadership with leadership of the people and by the people and for the people. That's the goal of this legislature that Ed has gotten started, and I thank you for it. Thank you.